I'd like to welcome everyone in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't have the privilege today of having my glasses because went sledding with the young peoples about a week ago and crunched them. And so the privilege I used to have with my glasses is I'm at the age where I need bifocals. So to read, I always would stick my glasses on my head, and I couldn't see any of you all. So that kind of helped with my fears. But now I have contacts in, and I can see you all. But that way, if I'm reading like this, you know why. So contact lens don't have bifocals. Last night, I dreamed that I was preparing for a sermon. And I wrote on the title of this sermon, I wrote, "A Normal Day," in my dream. And that's all I remembered from the dream. So today I've been praying about that. What does that mean? What do you want us to get out of this concept, this theme? And felt like the Lord has given me something. So we'll go into that. What is a normal day for you filled with? Each day that we're given is a building block of life. We have many different building blocks, but each day is a building block. It's a piece of material that forms this life of this one being. I'm thinking today of our sister Bonnie's testimony, how God has created each snowflake and given it a life, however short that life might be. But he has also given you and I. He's created each one of us and given us a life, however short or long that life might be. But what I want to focus on tonight is a normal day. A normal day for you and a normal day for me. What does that look like? What is it filled with? Who do you serve? Alma 16, verse 9, says, "For thus saith the Scripture, choose ye this day whom ye will serve." And I really appreciated the hymn that God gave us to sing for the opening hymn, the very first verse. It says, "O Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care." Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," and I took this from, I think it was Brother Glenn read this morning, "who being in the form of God," speaking of Christ Jesus, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation," didn't seek fame, he had the power to do many things. He could have done self-serving things, but he chose not to. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So he chose to be a servant, and of course he chose to serve God, to serve his Father in heaven. And he made himself in the likeness of men. I'm sorry, this is a continuance of verse 7. That was incorrect. I'm going to start at the beginning of verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He chose to humble himself and became obedient unto death. He humbled himself. In his life, he was faced with trials, temptations, distractions, afflictions, persecutions. But he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He became obedient unto the Father, even unto his death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And that's the name that we take upon ourselves when we make that covenant with God that will keep his commandments to the end of our lives. We take upon us the name of Christ. We rely alone upon his merits. Knowing that he is the author and finisher of our faith, we take upon us his name. We become a follower. We profess. It becomes our profession, our life's purpose to serve him. And so we take upon ourselves the name of Christ. This says, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, because he chose to be obedient to God, to the Father. He hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 gives us this hope. Because you and I are faced with temptations and persecutions and afflictions and distractions and fears. And Hebrews chapter 4 gives us this hope. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, this Jesus Christ, who was obedient unto his Father, unto death. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, that commitment we made, that covenant that we made. Let us hold fast, hold firm to us, near to us. Let us make a normal day this building block of our lives. Let us make it one in which we serve God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's a double negative there. What it's saying is we do have a high priest that has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was faced with the same temptations. He had weaknesses of the flesh, like we do. So we have a high priest, one that offered himself up on the cross. He was the sacrifice and the high priest, and he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted like as we are. It says, but was in all points tempted like as we are. All points. So when we have those doubts and those fears and those persecutions and those afflictions and those distractions, we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to look to. Says, yet he was without sin. In another place, it says that he was tempted, that he might succor us in our time of need. That's similar to what it's saying in verse 16. I'll just read on. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly, having this hope in him. Let's come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when we're in a normal day of life, a day where we're faced with decisions, situations that cause fear, that cause distraction, that cause that feelings of persecution, affliction, that cause doubt about ourselves and our abilities. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because Jesus went through all of that, was in the flesh, condescended himself, brought himself of low estate, like as we are, that he might face those temptations that we face, that he might help us in our time of need. What is your day filled with? Is your normal day? Is it a day of being controlled, by your fears, by happenings, things that happen to you? Oh, that always happens to me. Your doubts, your afflictions, your persecutions, and I put this in bold, distractions, because in my life, although all of these apply on many normal days for me, distractions. And they usually come in the form of things that I want to do rather than the will of God. Distractions that keep me from my service to God. What is your day filled with? Well, why should we fear? Psalm 118, starting in verse 5, says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Seriously, if we truly put our trust in God, if we're founded on his word, if we commune with him daily, what can man do to us? Can man take away our joy? Can man really cause us to fear? Can man distract us, persecute us? When we are, and I know you, as I have, been so close to God at times in your life that you feel like nothing can get in your way from serving him. And that should be our normal day. Oh, sure, we have things to do in our life. We have work to do. But if we start the day out right, if we started out getting out of our bed and kneeling before him and praising him for a new day. Asking his guidance. Asking him who he can put in our path this day that we might witness to. Asking him for his protection, for his wisdom. And then going and studying his word, feasting upon it, reading about those that have gone before us that face similar situations, similar trials, and getting those answers before we're faced with the temptations of the day. How do we keep from being distracted? John chapter 15, verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, and this is Christ speaking, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. If ye keep my commandments. And so therefore, as I talked about earlier, we have this important thing each day that we need to do. We need to feast upon his word at the beginning of the day. How can we keep his commandments unless we know them? Unless we have them ever present in our hearts? And we can only do that by feasting on his word, on his commandments. And if we keep his commandments, we shall abide in his love. We won't be distracted. We won't be distracted if we're abiding in his love. And we abide in his love if we keep his commandments. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So this is a high standard that he's holding us to. But he's given us his Spirit to do it by. What is your day filled with? Is your day, I don't know if you remember the last, I'm going to go back. Before I said, is it a day of being controlled by fears? Controlled. Is it a day of being controlled? Or is it a day affected? Is it a day affected, meaning the day, those around you, those in your presence, those who God wants you to affect? Is it a day affected by your obedience, your love, your prayers, your study of God's word, your study of God's word, your faith? For young peoples, DA did a study on faith, and I'd like to go back to that, and it's a scripture very familiar to you all, in Hebrews chapter 11, if you'll turn there with me. And we talked about this verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And D.A. asked the question, what is substance? What does that mean? And he used the example of a cell and the makeup of a cell. It has substance. And McKenzie said it means what it's made up of. And so faith is what makes up the things you hope for. Spanish moment. The cumplimiento. fulfilling of what you hope for. So faith is the substance or the actual workings of the things you hope for. The trust that in a God, in the merits of Christ and the grace. That puts all of that into motion. All I can think of is the word trust. But I'm going to turn to I'm going to go on to verse 6. No, I'm going to finish that verse. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it is, when you have faith in God, when you have faith in Jesus Christ, and it is a complete and total trust, it is a placing of your life in his hands, the willingness to be obedient to him, then what you hope for, which is when you read through this chapter, and we'll do some reading in it in just a minute, you hope for a good report at the end of your life. When we read through some of these, we will read that these people obtained a good report by faith. And so some of the things, rather than try to explain it, I'm just going to go on because I'm not doing it justice. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's first. Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what we talked about earlier, that study of his word is so important. That prayer, that communication with him is so important. And that is diligently seeking him. So let's read in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So Noah, he didn't see when he was building the ark, he didn't see the water already up to here. He believed God's word and he acted upon it. He trusted in God that what God told him to do, he was going to give the ability to fulfill, to complete. A normal day for him was building the ark. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. So see how important our faith is? The promise that God made to Abraham was fulfilled through Sarah, through her faith. Had she not had faith, the plan would have been for naught. It is so important, our faith. It affects those of others. By faith, in verse 21, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, being upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. Can you imagine placing your child in a basket in a river or, you know, in water? But they had faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain by the sword, with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report, what they hoped for, through faith received not the promise. In other words, they hadn't been a witness to Jesus Christ. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all those that have gone before us, all these that did all these things because they believed in Jesus Christ, and they believed and his commandments, and they kept them, and they abided, whatever the word is, in his love. Seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, every affliction, every persecution, every distraction. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, such trials, such persecutions, such afflictions. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be worried and faint in your minds. Once again, go back. If God is for us, who can be against us? If he came here and faced these trials and temptations and persecutions and distractions, and he did it for us, that he might help us in a time of need, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I love this scripture because it talks about Christ when he was in trial, when he was tormented by his flesh. And in Matthew 26, starting in verse 37, it says, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful. He knew what was coming ahead, and very heavy. And then said he unto them," and this was in the Garden of Gethsemane, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here. Watch with me." And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." I like this scripture because even Christ prayed for that which he wanted. Often we will pray for a healing of some loved one. We'll pray for something we feel is right, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not. And even Christ prayed here, "Let this cup pass from me." But then he prayed, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And that should be our prayer in the midst of trial, in the midst of persecution. "Let this cup pass from me, not as I will, but thou wilt." Maybe there's a reason that we need to go through a specific trial. I'm going to continue then. Verse 40, "And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." And that's what we should do as well in our normal day, in our prayer in the morning. Watch and pray. We should pray that we are not enter into temptation, but throughout the day we should be aware. Be aware of our surroundings. Be aware of the darts that the devil is flinging at us. And have that shield of faith up in protection. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He submitted his will to the Father. He didn't allow his own will to distract him from his purpose, his profession, his service to God. How does our witness to God today, the witness that we made this morning, apply to a normal day? How can partaking of the sacrament affect a normal day? And I want to read those prayers that were prayed this morning in Moroni chapter 4, verse 4. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son. So when we ate today, we ate remembering Jesus Christ, discerning, as our brother Glenn said this morning, discerning the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not only that body that was killed, but it was risen again. And you and I are now representatives of that body of Christ. And so it's not something that we look back and focus on just his death, but his resurrection and his desire to live through you and I, that we may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that we are willing to take upon them, that they are willing, and so we are willing, to take upon us the name of Christ. And we did that when we were baptized. We made that covenant. We witnessed that we made a covenant with him to take upon us his name. Are we still willing? Are we still willing to be a servant, to bear his name, to profess him, to declare him? And always remember him when we're up, when we're down, when we're tempted, when we're joyful. Always remember him. And keep his commandments, which he hath given them, that they may always have his spirit to be with him. So important, once again, back to feasting on his word and to asking for the guidance of his spirit to fulfill and keep his commandments. The makeup of a normal day. The building block of our life. Chapter 5, verse 3. O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that the blood of his Son that represents his obedience to his Father, that represents that time in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he entregarmenon, what is it? Delivered himself to his Father. And he did it out of his example to us, that we deliver ourselves to him, that we obey the Father as he did. So we drink of that wine representing that blood of obedience. The blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. What are the consequences of your choices? We know that the wages of sin is death. But the consequences of obedience is life. The consequences of keeping his commandments, delivering ourselves into his hands, submitting ourselves, feasting upon his word, taking time out, as we had the opportunity last night, for a few hours to just in silence listen to him. And give ourselves to him. The consequences are joy and life eternal. We have two main resources that came to my mind anyway, that we have to serve God with: our time and our possessions. And our day, our normal day, is filled with spending time and spending money, giving of ourselves and our possessions to others. What do we spend our time on in a normal day? What do we spend our money on? We have an opportunity to serve God with this normal day of life, this building block of our lives. And I pray that we choose to spend it serving God. May God bless each of us to that end.